May the Lord help us to commence this morning with some verses from hymn 142. Hymn 142, the first three and the last three verses. Go worship at Emmanuel's feet, see in his face what wonders meet. Earth is too narrow to express his worth, his glory, or his grace. Hymn 142, the first three verses and the last three verses.
Thank you.
50. Psalm 50. The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth and the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But unto the wicked God saith, What hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? Seeing thou hatest instruction, and castest my words behind thee. When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother, thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself, but I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. May the Lord bless his word, and help David in prayer.
O Lord, we pray for thy help to call upon thy holy, holy name. May the dear Holy Spirit of truth create an earnest cry in each heart that thou wilt come this day, that thou wilt work mightily in our midst and make salvation known. O Lord, we do pray that as we have been singing of the glories of Emmanuel, he may be made known to our hearts with divine power, that Christ is ours and we are his, that we are found in that everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, that thou hast blessed us each with eternal life in Christ Jesus. Lord, we need thee. We bow before thee, feeling our lost estate without thee. And Lord, we cannot even think one thought aright and this thy spirit breathe. So do come now, indite real prayer in our hearts. Help us to cry out of a sense of need. Jesus, reveal thyself to me. O Lord, we need mercy. We need the forgiveness of our sins. We mourn a hard, a cold, an unbelieving heart. We long for thee to appear, to turn our captivity as the streams in the sand, that thou wilt cause us to look again with the look of faith to a dear dying Christ, as we've been singing, to feast upon him, to live upon him, to fasten our hopes of eternity upon him, and Lord, to view him now in the heavens, there to make intercession for us. Oh, do not leave one soul untouched by this great blessing, life, life given from above, eternal life in Jesus Christ. Oh, to know him, whom to know is life eternal. Lord, do enable us each then to cry out of our own souls, deep want, deep need, deep confession before thee of our nothingness, our worthlessness. Our salvation must be a great rescue, that thou wilt put forth thy hand and pluck us from the borders of the pit, from what our sins deserve. So we pray earnestly, O Lord, remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. It is all in thee, and that we can rest in thy love. But oh, what if our names are left out? What if we are found at last but an outward show, with nothing wrought in the heart by the Holy Ghost? As we sang yesterday, prevent it by thy grace. Be thou, dear Lord, my hiding place. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? When wilt thou reveal thyself, a mighty Saviour, able to deliver from the deepest hell, from the very worst sins? Lord, we do beseech thee, come now, help us, draw our affections unto thee, and help us this day to worship thee in spirit and in truth, to place our hopes for heaven upon thee alone. Lord, we have nothing that we can plead of our own. Our best is stained and dyed with sin. Our all is nothing worth. We pray that thou wilt remember each one in this congregation in their special cases, Lord, each one with their cases. Do remember those that feel they have no case, that thou hast not begun with them, that thou hast not quickened them into life, but oh, they do long that thou wilt make a beginning, that thou wilt draw their souls to thee, that thou wilt cause them, Lord, to cry unto thee. Put a real prayer in their hearts, a prayer indited by the Holy Ghost, which thou wilt surely hear. And Lord, do, where thou dost make a beginning, do lead on in the paths of truth and righteousness. Do show forth thy salvation. Thou hast promised that where thou dost begin, thou wilt surely make an end. And oh, we do pray, Lord, for everyone that has come up this day feeling to be far off from God, dead within. Oh, Lord, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? We may look back to past times when thou didst appear, when our heart ran after thee, when we were worshipping thee, and thy name was most precious. But, O Lord, do come again. Shine within our souls. Speak that deliverance that we so seek, and do cause the enemy of our souls to depart from us. Lift up a standard against him, as thy word says. For thy great name's sake, do it, O Lord, we beseech thee. We do specially pray for those among us who have lost a dear one, a dear wife, mother and grandmother in past days, that thou wilt draw near and comfort their hearts and be to them the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Lord, uphold them by thy grace. Help them to trust in thee and to remember what great things thou didst for dear Lydia, and to pray that we each may know those same great things done for us. We pray now for our brother, Lord, our bereaved brother. Do help him this day. Strengthen him to read what thou hast put into his heart to bring to us this morning. May it be used by the Holy Ghost. May it be with power in our hearts. May we have a deliverance granted to our souls. And that this is the way. Walk ye in it. When we turn to the right or to the left. So help him, Lord, and help us. And we do pray now that thou wilt remember thy servant who could not come today, that thou wilt be with him and his wife at this time of affliction, and help them and bless the thee. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember also the one who hopes to come this evening. May he come up with a word from the Lord, and may we hear with open ear, understanding heart, and seek the blessing of the Lord upon him. So do come, we beseech thee, in all these things. Do not leave us destitute of thy mercy. We remember, Lord, our nation at this time. We thank thee for a deliverance granted during the past week in our parliament. But, O Lord, thou knowest the forces of evil that are ranged against thy word, thy people, against thyself, even the powers of Antichrist. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt show thyself God alone, that the one that sits in the heavens shall hold them in derision. We do pray for a revival of thy work among us in this place, that thou wilt gather in more to hear the word of life, that thou wilt bring in hungry and thirsty souls and feed them. And may thy name thus be glorified. Lord, we are not worthy of these things. We fall before thee in confession. Our prayers are poor. For we have no righteousness of our own to pray. But oh, that we might be given faith to look to Jesus in the sinner's place. that he who knew no sin was made sin for us. Hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. Pardon, Lord, all our sin, the sin of our poor prayer. And Lord, do make up those many things we fail to ask, known unto thee, are all thy works. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 397. In themselves as weak as worms, how can poor believers stand, when temptations, foes and storms press them close on every hand? Hymn 397.
Thank you.
I'll try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Abby Clark. And you will find the text in the psalm we read, verses 14 and 15. Psalm 50, verses 14 and 15. We have a solemn word in this psalm, where the psalmist speaks of the majesty of God in his church. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. The majesty of God shines in the church. It does not seem much like it today, friends, does it? No, but still it does shine. The glory of God is revealed in his church, and there mostly. In fact, I believe firmly that the world stands today for the sake of his church, and his church for his glory. It is a wonderful thing to be led to view that a number that no man can number of the fallen seed of Adam should be born for the glory of God, but it comes much closer. It is an unspeakable mercy to have 1,000th part of a grain of living faith to be enabled to believe that such as you and I were born into this world for the glory of God, to glorify him. Of course you will say, well, I thought it was for the glory of his Son. So it was. His Son is glorified in his church, and he is glorified in his church for the glorifying of his Son. It is wonderful if you get a view of this. As we see the beauty of creation, we admire it. But one great work exceeds all, and that is, man was born to prove the wonders of redeeming love. What a mercy, I will repeat, to know anything of that redeeming love, to have a right desire, prayer and concern after an interest in it is an unspeakable mercy, because a right concern and exercise as to our interest in that wonderful love can only arise from the work of the Spirit. No natural man will ever seek to be found in Christ. The majesty of God. What little there is today of acknowledgement of God. Very few acknowledge him. Oh, it is a little remnant, a few within a few. For the most part, God is set at naught. Yet we are all dependent upon him in every way. But men think they are little gods and that they are independent of God. They blaspheme his word and his name. We live in a terribly wicked age, yet God still lives, is still long-suffering and forbearing with the wickedness of man. And then there are our own sins, weaknesses, failings. We have nothing to boast of, but everything to be ashamed of. Yet it is a mercy to feel ashamed and thus to be enabled to feel a little of the majesty of the salvation of God. Keep silence, all created things, and wait your Maker's nod. Now I have read for the text, offer unto God thanksgiving. Several scriptures refer to offering up the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And do not forget that little word. It connects the two. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Now the one is set over against the other. Undoubtedly there are more days of trouble than of thanksgiving, but for the most part it is the life and experience of the church and of the poor, trembling child of God. A little thanksgiving and much trouble. And yet the thanksgiving arises from the trouble. And this is what we want to be enabled to speak of if we can. There is no real thanksgiving unless there is trouble. We may be very pleased with our mercies sometimes, naturally, but to be enabled to offer up the sacrifice of thanksgiving is another matter. We are professedly meant to offer thanksgiving. So far it is good. We would acknowledge the Lord and his goodness. Although much of the harvest is not yet gathered, there have been solemn judgments. But taking it in its fullest sense, offering the sacrifice, you know, sacrifice is sacrifice, of thanksgiving unto God. You want to be clear in this, that you are to give God the glory and to give him the honour. You have to sacrifice everything of the flesh, everything of the creature. We are brought off every iota of our own selves and our own things, and no thanks to us. Not unto us. Not unto us. Not unto us. That is not easy. I will try to show you from Scripture and right experience that it needs much grace to offer up the sacrifice of thanksgiving. The offering that is acceptable to God must be by the Spirit of God and in and through the Lord Jesus. No natural man can please God, and nothing of nature can be acceptable, because our best is stained and dyed with sin. Now, when Moses was instructed with the sacrifices under the old dispensation, this is a very wonderful point that may be overlooked. You can read it at your leisure. In the offering up of the peace offering and the thanksgiving offering, there must be unleavened cakes, and they must be mixed with oil, and there must be unleavened bread, and that must be mixed with oil, and the cakes must be fried in a pan with the oil. The offering up of the sacrifice of thanksgiving had to be mixed with oil. Now, what does that signify? Now, you see, we overlook the fact that we need the anointing oil. We need the unction of the Holy One. We need the power of God, the power of the Spirit. We need real grace. We want unction, dew, the oil of the Spirit. The oil is that sanctifying influence that softens our spirits, melts our hearts, draws our affections, breaks us down into nothing. An unworthy, wretched sinner, and yet the Lord has come, and you are broken. You see, nature will never come here. You can have the greatest blessing that would be possible for a person to have. You could spend all day saying, "Thank you, Lord," and never have a thankful spirit, and never offer up the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Do you know that? I do. I hope the Lord has taught me this. There have been those times when the Lord has favoured you. Perhaps you have had providential blessings and gracious blessings, and yet there has been no sanctifying oil, and you could not for the life of you feel as you would like to feel. No brokenness of spirit, no contrition, no real repentance which it will bring. I remember myself, I had a wonderful gift, a wonderful blessing, and it troubled me much because I could not feel as I wanted. I tried to thank the Lord and to be thankful, but I was dumb. I was bewildered, but I knew I could not feel as I wanted to feel. And it was a day of trouble. It went on for some time, many months, until I was riding alone, thinking over the said gift, enjoying the benefit of it, and it so sweetly and sacredly came down upon my spirit, every ordinance of blessing, every providence of friend. And I felt my heart soften, my tears of contrition flowed, and I wept before the Lord to thank him for this gift that had been for many months a trouble. I was riding alone and I had to stop. Oh, the sweetness, the oil, the unction, love, blood and mercy flowing then. Christ was precious, grace and providence did unite. Oh, my dear friends, we need to be like the ancients. All the ordinance and sacrifices under the old dispensation are done away, except the ordinance of sacrifice of thanksgiving. And we need that oil that was necessary under the old dispensation. In the gospel sense, it is the unction of the Holy One. It is the power of the Spirit with his sanctifying influence, enabling a poor, dying mortal, an unworthy sinner, to realise sweetly, lovingly, feelingly and blessedly that every mercy, every grace and every favour flows to him through Jesus Christ. Jesus' blood, Jesus' love. That's it. That's it, poor soul. You know, there is so much of the flesh. There is so much formality today. I grieve over it. I beg of God, my little few know it, not to be left to formality. There is plenty of letter preaching today and plenty of letter hearers. I say it kindly, affectionately and faithfully. There is so much formality. Very nice men, very nice people. Things are easy and smooth. But where will it get you? Where will it end? What will be the issue? But oh, I do want a little realisation and experience of the anointing oil, the unction of the Holy One. It will mean heaven. It has a savour upon the spirit. It is something that will lead you to heaven, something that will honour God and glorify him, because the Lord humbles you. He brings all the flesh out of it, and it is the only way. And I know these seasons are very rare. You may say, well, I don't feel much to be thankful for. I'm such a poor thing. You know, each one of us has this to be thankful for. We are out of a deserved hell. And we have this to be thankful for, if indeed we realise that we have a soul that must live forever. And if the Blessed Spirit has so wrought upon us to enlighten our understanding, enabling us to see our danger and give us a right exercise and concern. Where is the world today? The world that lies in wickedness and the world in the church. But those with a secret desire to honour God are indeed seeking to know him. Yet they do know him as far as this, that they are seeking to be found in him. Because you don't look for those whom you do not know. It is the Blessed Spirit's work to reveal the sinner's condition, his lost and ruined state, and that living and dying in that state, he will be lost. And he is thus led to seek for mercy. Mercy, good Lord. Mercy, pardon, forgiveness. There is a seeking the truth, a seeking unto God. Offer unto God thanksgiving that you are this afternoon desirous from your very heart in sincerity to have the prayer answered in the hymn. Did you think of it? We must be fed on living bread or we shall die. That is the substance of it. Do you think you will die unless you get living bread this afternoon or at any time? Oh, you say, don't be so close. Well, it is either true or it is not. It is either just a form or it is sincere. The Lord knows. If it is a day of soul trouble, if it is a day of gracious concern, it is a day of trouble, the day of Jacob's trouble, and there is no day like it. Sin is a burden. Sin is a reality. You say, do we offer thanksgiving in the right way? There will come a day when you will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. God teaches his people by the law that they are lawbreakers. They have broken God's law and they cannot fulfill it. They are brought to realize that they are helpless and hopeless in every way. They need salvation, not religion. They need salvation. They need to be saved from themselves. They need, and they feel it, to be saved from all their corruptions, their sin, and their fallen condition. Now only the Spirit teaches this. to be poor, destitute, to be reduced to that failing state of unworthiness and unfitness is a great mercy. Now the Lord uses various means to teach his people, to bring them into trouble, and he combines the two, thanksgiving and trouble. You will not have much thanksgiving if you are not brought into trouble, and you will have no knowledge of the delivering power of God. There will be no calling upon God. God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. None teacheth like him. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. The Lord brings his poor people into those places where they have to cry mightily unto him. Plead my cause, O Lord. Deliver me from my transgressions and my sins. They have to come with David in his afflictions and sorrows. I have often been struck with that word in the 116th Psalm, all men are liars. This is where the Lord's people are brought today. You cannot put confidence in anyone. Everything is shaken, and you think everything is against you. Sin works, the devil roars. There are afflictions, crosses, losses. Nothing seems to go right. Then can you talk about offering up the sacrifice of thanksgiving? But this is the way to it. How few, if any, come to Jesus, till reduced to self-despair. Long we either slight or doubt him, but when all the means we try prove we cannot do without him, then at last to him we cry. This is soul trouble, the light of the Blessed Spirit shining in our hearts and shining upon the Word. And there are convictions. Yes, the Blessed Spirit convinces of sin, righteousness and judgment, and the poor thing, sooner or later, has his eyes directed to the gospel. Now this is mercy, is it not? Some people used to say that John Bunyan began too soon with his pilgrim, but I don't think so. Who would want to be directed? Only those who are brought into these places. Poor Christian, he was glad of evangelists to point to that light. So will you be, if you are one who is distressed, if you are brought into that day of trouble and exercise. You feel everyone is a liar. There is no truth in anything. You are brought off everything here. Now you see, this is how the Lord works. He sanctifies those things to bring you out of all creature merit. Brings you to realize this, that you need the unction and the oil. You need the Spirit's help now to seek unto God and to pray. We can use words, and it's right to use words. Never cease to pray. The devil will tempt you, and on this score I would say, especially to young people, don't give up. The devil will say your heart is hard. It is not good to pray to God. You're only mocking him. Oh, my friends, many arguments might be used, but I say this. The time comes when you cannot help it. The day of trouble is so great, the burden so heavy, that you may resolve that you will give up. But you will find that in less than 5 minutes there's a groan, a cry. You find yourself saying, oh, Lord, have mercy. Do manage it. Pardon my sin. Whatever the case may be. You will find your little faith will come up. Oh, what a mercy, what cause for thanksgiving. You are not dead. No, there would not be that heaving up. It is wonderful, is it not? I have proved it. You are in trouble sometimes. You have no desire, and you are tempted to give up. But you cannot give up. Why, this is where the resolve comes in. This is where the necessity is felt. This is the work of the Spirit, as you are enabled by precious faith in your deep trouble, in your afflictions, whatever the day of trouble may be, to call upon him. Call upon me, says God. And the poor thing says, yes, Lord, I have nowhere else to look. Every channel is closed. Vain is the help of man. Creatures are but vain at best. We love our friends. Yes, do not misunderstand me. I have been thankful many times. I have a few friends I love in the truth when there is a little godly conversation and fellowship. And we do get a little. But you see, we don't have to look to them. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. Before we can offer up the sacrifice of thanksgiving, we must be brought off man. It is Christ to be exalted and the sinner laid low. God is to be glorified. I would say to the few who meet here, it is better to be filled with the Lord's blessing than to open the door, as many do, to any ministry. But we want to be clean. We want to be clear. Better to be a few with God's presence. We know it is sad. We know it is grievous. We know it is difficult. But oh, we want the oil. We want the grace. Is it not in this adversity? Call upon me in the day of trouble. This mighty God, this almighty Jehovah, he loves his Zion. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He is all power. The precious Jesus has all power given to him in heaven and in earth. Then again, I feel like this, my friends. Really and truly, we need to seek the salvation of our souls. This is solemn. We do not know what may be. We do not know what the Lord's will is. But oh, if we could seek of the Lord to give more prayer, the spirit of prayer, an increased pouring out of this unction and oil. Because to really pray and find access to breathe our sorrows at the throne of grace, you need the anointing oil. One may say, I feel I can pray. Words, yes. But words alone will not bring answers. I speak guardedly. It's the answers. I fear sometimes there is a missing the mark. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. There is perhaps much calling upon the name of God, but there is a passing of things over. Now I know that Paul says about a thing being sanctified by much prayer. And you are apt to say, well, I have prayed about it, and I hope it will be sanctified by prayer. It will be all right. I have prayed about it. There is a taking of things for granted. But what difference does it make? What did the Lord answer you? What did the Lord say in answer to your prayer? What did the Lord tell you? Has the Lord done anything? Is the Lord in it? Some will say, oh, you mustn't talk like that. No, that is the evil today. But God talks like that. His word is, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. We are all in trouble, but do we feel it? Are you surfeited? Are you bewildered? Are you cast down? Have you a trial? Have you a heavy heart? Have you a hard heart? Oh, there are many things which constitute a day of trouble. But what a mercy there is, a throne of grace. Pray if thou canst or canst not speak. The point is, there must be a continuing. We have got to keep on. We get so impatient, so disheartened. We pray very earnestly for a thing, but nothing happens. And it seems to die out. You see, that may prove it was something natural. But what cause for thankfulness that you have a few places where you have had to continue in prayer? Why, the precious Jesus spent much time in prayer, and it was not for himself. It was for his dear people. The mountain and the midnight air witnessed the fervour of his prayer. Christ was such a wonderful pattern of prayer. But you see, something happened. He prayed for his dear people, and he was heard. He was heard. I've thought sometimes of the occasion when he was praying on the mountain, and yet he could see his disciples on the sea, fearing a watery grave. How figurative. They had many fears, but call upon me. He saw they were struggling and toiling. He knew. Oh, is it not wonderful? Sometimes, you know, our poor reason works and we wonder how the Lord can hear when there are thousands of his people groaning out to him at the same time. Yet the Lord can hear everyone and answer them. There is no limit, that mighty God. And he loves to hear and answer prayer. He hears the groans of his elect. He hates to put away. Call upon me in the day of trouble. Well, it is a comfort to the people of God that the Lord says, I will. If he gives the unction, if he gives the oil, if he draws near, it is good for me to draw near to God. It's the drawing near. It will have to be something painful to bring it home to us when the Lord afflicts. I have some painful things in my ministry, but they have not hurt me. It just comes to my mind. I was preaching once in the place of another minister who couldn't come. Some people came, saw me, and walked away. But the Lord spoke to me. It is good for thee to draw near unto God. In a moment, I could pray for them. And I felt near the Lord. Why? It's everything. Call upon me. Draw near. Oh, we need drawing. You can see we can easily become like the Arminians. Call upon God. It will be all right. Will it? You must agree with me, some of you, that we need the unction. We need the anointing oil. That is the secret. And we have got to believe that the Lord will answer. I know this, that were a grief I could not bear, didst thou not hear and answer prayer? But a prayer hearing, answering God, supports me under every load. Poor though I am, despised, forgot, yet God, my God, forgets me not. And he is safe and must proceed. For whom the Lord vouchsafes to plead. Now the great thing is, call upon me. It is faith, we know, not empty words, that will be effectual. It's the prayer of faith. Now you see, without faith it is impossible to please God. They that come unto him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, it will mean trouble. It will mean trial. And the faith of God's elect is not given cheaply. I say this, if the Lord gives you faith, there must be some work for it to do. Poor soul, and if he brings you trouble, it is a mercy. Offer him the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Isaiah tells us to glorify God in the fires. Yes, call upon me, I will deliver thee. It is hard work. How few meet for the prayer meeting in some places. I must be honest, I have a loyal little few. But people say, it doesn't matter. It's only a prayer meeting. But you know the prayer meeting is the pulse of the church. Call upon me. I know there is a backwardness. Some say we pray in secret best. I know there is a right way. The Lord says that we are to pray in the closet or in a ditch or in a barn. Yes, I've known it. When there is real concern, real trouble, then I would turn aside anywhere. How does he deliver? In his own way. And this is the point, as the poet says. How and when and by what means, to his wisdom leading. If you map out a path how the Lord has got to answer, you will be wrong. It is the prayer of faith there will be a sweet submission to the will of God. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. That is the pattern. That is the teaching. Oh yes, we can map out a path how the Lord can work, but it will not do. There is nothing more sacred than calling upon God in the day of trouble. By precious God-given faith, with humility, with love, believing in that precious name and merit of that glorious person, God's only begotten Son, his co-equal and co-eternal Son. He personates the case of his dear people. He is the advocate with his Father. All prayer offered must be in his name. May I say a word here? You know I like real things. We often say, for Christ's sake, don't we? You ask a blessing, it is proper, and say, for Christ's sake. But is it in faith in Jesus' name? Is there an entering into what it means? That great name of Jesus sets forth and stands for his character. What he is the glorious sacrifice, shedding his own blood. What he is as the advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Every mercy and every blessing must flow to us through Jesus' blood. Do we consider this? Oh, you say, is it necessary? So you don't know. Was it for crimes that I have done? Was it for me that he offered up that sacrifice, that he hung on that cross, that he lay in that tomb, that he rose again triumphant over all his enemies, sin, death, hell, the grave, and all that oppose? Blessed Jesus, he conquered. He ascended up on high and now sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. A man there is, a real man, with wounds still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran in hands and feet and side. There he looks and loves and smiles. There is a poor thing calling upon him in a day of trouble. I will bear the indignation of the Lord until he plead my cause. The name of Jesus, his blood, the merits of Jesus. If the anointing oil is given, if there is a sweet, blessed, softening influence of the Spirit, by precious faith we can draw near and find access at his glorious throne of grace at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He is Zion's King. He is King in Zion. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth God. Time is gone. I must leave remarks. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Hadley will preach this evening. Sunday school this afternoon will be on Zoom. Mr. Richard Wells is expected on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day, Mr. Ian Sadler, at the usual times, and he will address the Sunday school in the afternoon. The collections next Lord's Day will be for the Free Grace Evangelistic Association, the FGEA. And notice that there will be a church meeting, God willing, on Monday the 1st of November. Our closing hymn is number 730. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. 730.
pray thy blessing upon the services. We do thank thee for that help given to our dear brother Andrew. And Lord, we do pray that it may prove to have been he been dead, yes. Lord, the change in circumstances today. But Lord, all arrangements are made if the Lord. Lord, we do pray for thy servant who was engaged. Lord, do be willing to those he has to isolate, we pray, may be blessed with meditation. Help his dear wife and the covenant. Lord, bring it. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt come up with thy servant the sea. Lord, do give him a word. To bring before. Grant us in his day hearts to receive hope. Lord, may it prove to be. Lord, we do pray that thou be with us now as we sing. Grant help in his sons. Lord, do grant us real prayer for the evil. Do come up. May thy presence be with us. Lord, do help us to truly give thanks for thy many, many blessings. In drowning, Lord, be with us and do forgive our every